How do we find real masculinity with Jesus hanging on a cross? The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is titled Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jeff Hemmer. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Men in all stages of life will appreciate Man Up. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Man Up, 1-800-325-3040.
We don't treat religion like a subject that we think influences the news and what influences what happens in the world.
The God of Islam wants us to die for him. Jesus died for us.
A conscience that's bound to anything other than God's word is enslaved to idolatry.
When we do our own thing as a congregation, ignoring history, ignoring the divine liturgy's history and so forth, we have in a sense become an island unto itself.
Topics you can really sink your teeth into. That's why Iowa dentists love Issues Etc.
All of us are afflicted to one degree or another with a similar condition when it comes to our relationship to our bodies. We're not happy with this or that. Maybe when you were 20 years old or somewhere in that neighborhood, you could stare in the mirror and say, I like what I see. I like everything I see. I see no room for improvement. But the older you grow, that room for improvement grows as well and becomes more difficult to attain. There are those who are afflicted with a more serious malady when it comes to that look in the mirror. What they see in the mirror is not just kind of out of sync with how they think of themselves or how they like to think of themselves. It's, in some cases, they claim completely out of sync. A man looks in the mirror, and what he sees there, he finds repulsive because he believes that he's actually a woman. We have a term for it, transgender. It's a term that has suddenly, and I mean suddenly, become the new cause of the day. And it has some sort of power so that people who otherwise would not want to encourage someone in their psychological problems to humor them are humoring the transgendered, well, in the political arena and in the legal arena and even in the medical arena as well. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon, the 5th of April, from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the dangers of surgical solutions to psychological problems. And a little bit later, a recent Time magazine cover story about the death of truth. Glenn Stanton will be our guest in the first half hour of the program. After that, Alan Schliemann joins us, author and speaker for Stand to Reason. We're going to talk about a recent Slate column titled, When Does Life Begin? It's not so simple. Actually, it is. But Slate doesn't think it is. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us after that for part 11 of our series on Lutheran identity. We'll be talking about the beginning confession of the Lutheran Reformation. You want to know where the Lutheran Reformation really started? It started in 1530 with the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. And we'll talk about it, what it contains, a little bit later here on Issues Etc. Now, you can join us with your questions and your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @IssuesETC. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the danger of surgical solutions to psychological problems. And in a few minutes, that Time magazine cover story that heralded the death of truth, Glenn Stanton, a regular guest, director of family formation studies for Focus on the Family, author of several books, including Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and two recent columns for The Federalist, Woman Demands Doctor Sever Her Spinal Cord to Align Body to Mind, Same as a Transsexual Man, end quote, and a Time magazine obituary for truth is about 50 years too late. Glenn, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd. Thanks so much.
Context really does help us get a truthful perspective on issues like transgenderism. And that context is found in a term that I think I read for the first time in your column in The Federalist, body integrity identity disorder. What does it mean?
Yeah, it's a very complex kind of phrase, but it really is quite simple, that it means it's a condition, an overwhelming anxiety feeling that your body doesn't match up to who you are. Body identity integrity disorder, you know, the identity, and that there's not integrity between, if you will, who I am as an individual and what my body is. But what it refers to primarily is this very curious but real and serious condition among people where they, you know, four limbs, two legs, two arms, but they will feel as if one of their legs is not theirs. And sometimes that it belongs to somebody else, and they can tell you the story about who it belongs to. And they demand and will go to great lengths to have that limb cut off. Typically what it is like, and it's interesting that there's this continuality, if you will, with the patients. It's typically the right leg be under the knee. And what these people will do, I mean, it's disturbing, but they will harm their leg in such a way with a chainsaw accident, lay their leg on a railroad track, so that it is either taken off or maimed so that a doctor has to amputate it. And they say that they will never be integrous, if you will, with themselves and who they are if that leg is not removed. I mean, a very, very serious condition, but the part of my article is, okay, we think, okay, that's just loony. Those people are just nuts. But then on the gender side, no, these people are brave. They're, you know, seeking their own identity. And they're both body issues, you know, and cutting off parts of your body that do not connect with who you are.
So it's really kind of the perspective with regard to transgenderism that it's not the only symptom of a bigger disorder. It's just one symptom of a bigger disorder.
Well, that's exactly right. And as I say in the article, okay, what are the differences here? The similarities are, okay, there's a disconnect, a platonic kind of divide between what my body is and what my mind is, and that I cannot rest, I cannot be at peace with myself until, you know, my body aligns with what I understand myself to be. So those are the two similarities. The difference is, I mean, just flat out, one has a very powerful political lobby and friends in high places in Hollywood, in New York, and in Washington, D.C., unfortunately, where the other is just dismissed as, you know, crazy lunatics. And, you know, you'd want to answer back to the transgender people, well, that's how people felt about you, you know, less than, you know, 15 years ago. And so you're making the case here that, okay, maybe the transgender thing is not just, quote unquote, another way of being. Maybe there is some seriousness there that is more an issue of the mind than it is the body.
When it comes to other mental illnesses that are, and golly, the list grows shorter and shorter with every year. Disorders, mental disorders. When it comes to others, the preferred treatment is not to humor the person afflicted with a mental disorder. If someone is delusional, the preferred treatment is not to go along with their delusions. If a man, you know, the classic example would be someone believes that he is Napoleon Bonaparte. His family might, you know, let him live in the attic and humor him. But a medical professional, psychological professional, would not recommend that as a good course of treatment. So why is it, what is it about the gender issue, do you think, that people are so easily swayed into, I'm just going to use the term, humoring people in their delusions?
Yeah. And that's a good term. And it really comes down to there's a political lobby the limb people or the amputee people just simply don't have that. However, it's interesting that when you go into the medical literature, there are some doctors that have written on the ethics of this and have concluded that just like we do over on the gender side, if this is what the patient wants, if this is what they desire, then we should do this. Now, those guys are, you know, completely rare and, you know, probably, you know, the large body of medical ethics and ethicists say, no, you do not cut the body to heal the mind. It's just a fool's errand. But the reason that we do this over on the gender side is a very powerful and destructive. When I say destructive, I mean, look at the state of North Carolina. I mean, all hell came down upon them because they didn't play along with the transgender game. And people are scared to death about standing up and speaking out against the folly of, you know, if we just cut the body, if we transform the body, it will make our minds fine.
Glenn Stanton is director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He's author of several books, including Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and two recent columns for The Federalist, Woman Demands Doctors Sever Her Spinal Cord to Align Body to Mind, Same as a Transsexual Man, and Time Magazine's Obituary for Truth is About 50 Years Too Late. We'll talk about that Time Magazine cover story in a few minutes.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
The world may tell us that Easter is about eggs and chocolate bunnies, but we Christians know that there would be no Easter without Jesus' death and resurrection. Emmanuel Press has just released an Easter card with beautiful artwork that confesses Christ's victory over death and his redemption of mankind. You can find this card and others at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L press.us.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Glenn Stanton is our guest. We're talking about the danger of surgical solutions to psychological problems, and in a few minutes, the Time Magazine cover story heralding the death of truth. Glenn, what do we know long-term about kind of in terms of the limiting principle here? We were talking about it before. The limiting principle where if we permit someone to reassign themselves their sex, what's to stop the person who believes they must be an amputee from doing the same with their limbs?
Well, and that's, I mean, the limiting principle question is exactly the right question because there is none. There's nothing that defines or contains the transgender issue to say, okay, this is reasonable and this is natural, but those things over there are ridiculous and you know, is a psychosis. There is none. And it's the same with our discussion about sexual orientation. We will say, oh, we all know what that means, but we don't. I mean, the question is polygamy a sexual orientation? Polygamists say that it is. Is polyamory, having many sexual partners at one time, not specifically at one time, but, you know, having partners that you trade, there are legal scholars who say that is an orientation. Pedophilia, you know, the question is, do sexual orientations always have to be pro-social or socially acceptable? There is no limiting factor, like you're saying, that this is an orientation and those things are not. It just simply is based on people's opinions about what they think is right and wrong. And that's exactly what we're seeing with this body identity disorder thing.
Just in terms of what is allegedly being sought here, peace of mind, being at peace with one's body, do the attempts to reassign sex surgically, do they generally tend to make the person better, so to speak? Does the problem go away?
Yeah, there's very strong research that it absolutely does not. In fact, Paul McHugh was the doctor and professor who ran the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine for decades. And he, when he took over the school, he had them stop doing transgender surgeries. They were the first place in the world to do it. And he said, no, we're going to stop this because it's not helping people. The data shows that. The literature shows that. And so we're going to stop giving out false hope that this will really make a difference. But what's interesting, and a point that you made earlier, is that not only is the transgender thing a process that somebody goes through, but it's an identity. And that's where we've reached, that it's not just, well, I'm going to have this surgery on my body and change my, my body, but it's who I am. I am a transgendered person. And that makes it even more problematic that the person's identity is based on something that is not actual. It's just in their mind.
Before we let you go, you've also recently written about Time Magazine's obituary for the truth. You say it's 50 years too late. Why is Time asking the question about truth now?
Well, and the cover is the same cover that they used, about 50 years ago, asking the question, is God dead? And so, you know, physically, a very striking kind of image. But the moment it landed on my desk, I knew that this wasn't an article about, you know, philosophically the nature of truth. What it was is, we've got this crazy president, and he's telling lies all over and alternative facts and things like that. So they're asking, is truth dead? As if, you know, in the popular culture and people from Time and Newsweek and the major media and professors, truth has just been wonderful and constant all the way through. Haven't you guys been telling us that no, truth is relative? There is no absolute truth. It's up to every one of us. And now President Trump comes along and they're all freaked out about the integrity of truth.
So, I've seen it from the New York Times as well. They, just after the inauguration, launched a huge campaign to get subscribers online and their print edition, based completely around the fact that they are going to tell the truth. And my first reaction was, well, it's about time. What can we do about it?
Well, and the funny thing about that is there's so many middle Americans who, you know, like when Washington Post and New York Times does their fact checker thing, you know, so many of us like, okay, we're going to get right on that and see what the truth actually is. You know, they have sullied their own reputation about what truth is and what truth is not. I mean, there was a story last week about a congressman or senator. He cited a Bible verse from the New Testament about, you know, those who don't work don't eat. And the New York Times, you know, took that saying, Christians say that people who can't work shouldn't eat. You know, and they don't understand, okay, that is a scripture reference. There's something specific about it. You know, they just trample on the truth, and they have made a cottage industry out of doing that for the last 50 years. But it's only now that they seem concerned about that. And it's just laughable.
Finally, with about 30 seconds, is there actually a connection between the two topics we've discussed here, namely the kind of the abandonment of truth, not only in the media, but in our culture, and the rise of the illogical acceptance of things like transgenderism?
Oh, absolutely. And it's a power game. It's the thing of I'm in power, and truth is what I think truth is, and whatever you think that because you're just uneducated. And so that's exactly what we see with the cover of Time. That's exactly what we're seeing on this body identity disorder thing. You're absolutely right.
Glenn Stanton is director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He's author of several books, including Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and two recent columns for The Federalist, Woman Demands Doctors Sever Her Spinal Cord to Align Body to Mind, Same as a Transsexual Man, and Time Magazine's Obituary for the Truth is About 50 Years Too Late. You can read those and all his columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Glenn, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, you bet you, Todd. Thanks.